Welcome
to the Trouble with the Snap podcast. Y'all hear that voice? You know who that is. You know, we got a lot of really positive feedback last time Clifton Ryan was on. He took a little heat, though, too. He is back with us today. Cliff.
I'm doing great. How are you doing? Thanks for having me back.
Oh, no, man. We appreciate it. You're doing this for us. And so, you know, it's like I told you last time, man, it's good to get guys' insights who've played in these games. So, really quick, you can find us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Look up the Facebook page, Trouble with the Snap Podcast. Check out the archive shows. Yeah, including Cliff Ryan's debut on the show, which, like I said, man, you got I don't want to say mixed reviews because everybody loved your stuff, but, you know, there was a little bit of heat.
Who cares? Who really cares? Let's be honest, Tyler. Michigan State got extremely lucky on Saturday. I mean, I'm glad my team won. I was in the stands, but they were down 14-16. They were down 14-30. They scored two touchdowns and got two two-point conversions. Most teams don't even get two two-point conversions in a whole season. I mean,
yeah.
Not to mention the underthrows and the overthrows in the fourth quarter by Michigan's quarterback. Not to mention Jim Harbaugh's inability to stick with the run game. If they stick with the run game when they're up 16, we might be talking a different story. But I'm happy they won. I'm happy for Mel. I'm happy for the guys. I'm happy for Mr. Kenneth Walker. But we have to keep things in perspective. We have to have a realistic approach because we got four tough games on deck.
Yeah, and we're going to break that down a little bit. We'll break down Michigan a bit too. But hey, that who cares attitude, man. That's what I like about you. That's why you're back, dog. If we're being honest, so I want to ask you though before we like dive into this weekend and talk about Michigan and all that type of stuff. Kenneth Walker had a pretty okay showing on Saturday. I want to know what you thought of that.
I loved it. I love his game. I love his style of play. I love how the receivers and tight ends and O-line open up great holes for him. That cannot be overlooked. But there was times he was bottled up. You know, there was times. And that's what scares me because when you run across Ohio State and a Penn State with physical defenses with great team speed that can put 6-7 in a box, 8 in a box, and make Reed and Naylor and the rest of those guys beat their defense consistently, that's kind of scary.
Yeah. His first touchdown run, he ran into a pile, and then I started looking down. I wasn't even paying attention to the rest of the play, and he just pops it off to the left. I want to get your thoughts on a two-word phrase here. I want to know what you think, because both Michigan and Michigan State are kind of looking down the barrel of one. And the phrase is a trap game. What's the mindset of an athlete when you hear that word?
I don't believe in it. Because, like I told somebody earlier this week, it's only a trap game if you allow it.
Yeah.
How can you overlook a Purdue team that beat an Iowa team?
Yeah.
How can you overlook an Indiana team that was pretty good coming into the preseason?
And yeah, they're getting healthier.
They're about 28 points between three or four games from being what, 5-3, 6-2?
Yeah.
So if you look over these guys, go ahead. But they're on scholarship too. And they got a point to prove too. And they still can go bowling too. So if you want to have your head in the clouds, or if you're Michigan, if you want to sit and reminisce about what you didn't do last week, go right ahead. You'll be taking an L come Saturday.
Yeah, what did you make of Michigan's quarterback situation? Is it time to scrap the J.J. McCarthy thing just for now?
I mean, it was working. You know, they got a fumble. You got to think it was working for a while. Yeah. I mean, I don't think you scrap it. I think you fine-tune it. People are overreacting to Michigan losing, in my opinion, because on that last drive, a couple times guys was open. He just didn't make the throw. If fans go back and watch the game, a couple times They had us beaten coverage. He just overthrew and underthrew the ball. You know, yeah. And that's the difference between being a good team and a great team. The great teams make those plays. Alabama makes those plays. Georgia makes those plays. Ohio State makes those plays. That's why you see the same teams over and over in the college football playoffs.
Yeah. Well, all right. So Michigan, obviously, they're a little bit of a run-heavy team. They flipped the script a little bit with Michigan State. McNamara played a really, really good game, though. Like you said, he did miss a couple of those later on. Michigan likes to run. They're playing an Indiana team that I guess you could say bottled up Kenneth Walker. It was 87 yards, I think, 89 yards. He had something like that. Does the scheme that Michigan run, does that present a problem for Indiana, or do you think Indiana can do the same thing if they apply it, if they apply themselves right on this?
I think if I'm Jim Harbaugh, I want to establish the run.
Yeah.
Hopefully he has that O-line motivated to be nasty and physical. Because they have two good running backs.
Yeah, great running backs.
But on the flip side, Indiana might be motivated to prove a point. So I said this, I said that to say this. Whatever D-line, if whatever line has the greatest will win. Yeah. If Indiana D-line can outwheel Michigan D-line, if Michigan O-line can outwheel Indiana's D-line, that's the line that will be successful. Whatever one has the greatest will, the most physical, and want to control the line of scrimmage, that's who's going to have the success. Because down there is man on man. There's no excuses. It's the closest that you're going to get to physical war as possible. It's hand-to-hand combat. May the best man win. I hope that makes sense for the fans.
Yeah, it makes sense, especially when you're running, you know, those man schemes that Michigan runs predominantly. We've got to talk about David Bell at Purdue a little bit, because this guy, he leads the Big Ten in receiving. He's, you know, not that big play, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson type threat that both Michigan and Michigan State are going to see later with Ohio State. But, you know, he's a dominant receiver. Michigan, I guess there wasn't a lot of film on most of the guys who were out there running routes because everybody was kind of banged up for them. And look, Andrell Anthony, there's film on that boy now because he had a great game. But when you have one guy like that who's the entire offense is centered around, because you saw Purdue completely fall apart against Notre Dame when Bell got knocked out. How do you game plan for something like that when the offense is so heavy on one guy and it's a receiver, you know, not a guy you can just hand the ball off to like K-9 and, you know, watch him do some things?
Our secondary is so shaky, I'm not even sure how to answer that. I mean, and I know I'm very critical of our guys, but I played the game at a high level. You can say whatever you want to say about me.
Look, 8-0, they have the opportunity to do something special. I think it's time to start critiquing a little bit more than, you know, this hero worship stuff, which, I mean, you can pat them on the back for going 9-3 when people thought they were going to win like 4 or 5, maybe 6 games if they were lucky. But it's time to – you got to critique them. If you're going to hold that number 3 spot, if you're going to end up going against Alabama in the playoffs, you got to start critiquing them, man. That, like I said, this is why I want you on the show. This is why, you know, people love to – so
I'm just – to answer the question, I don't know, because I watched Saturday and we got cooked for what, a 93-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
The tight end killed us. I mean, that was a hell of a play by at the end of the game. His what's his name? Charles? What's his last name?
Brantley.
Charles Brantley, right?
Yeah.
But if you watch that play, he peeled off of his man in the zone and made the one-hand interception. That wasn't his zone. That was an instinct play. Yeah. And that's the third instinct play that we've had at the end of a game. To win us the game. It happened in Nebraska, and it happened against Miami. But my thing is, when are we going to stop relying on those instincts plays and be able to call certain coverages and hang our hat on that? And that's what the great teams do. They hang their hat on certain things. You know, when you play Georgia, you want to get a four-man rush with solid man coverage. You know, when you play Alabama, you're going to get four-man rush mixed up with man blitzes. I don't know what type of coverage Michigan State is going to do. They play a lot of bail zone, and sometimes they show man in bail. So I don't know. I don't think we have any coverage right now that we can truly hang our hat on. I think the only thing we really can hang on our hat on right now is Mr. Walker. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you can hang a few hats on that.
Yeah. Boy. You know, but what can I say this? Yeah. Mr. Reed, you grew up. You grew up Saturday. I'm proud of you. I don't know if you listen to the podcast, but you grew up and you made some big plays. But one thing I got to ask you, Mr. Reed, you have to get in better condition because you kind of wore down in the fourth quarter. If you're going to be a star receiver, you got to be able to get targeted anywhere from 10 to 15 times a game without losing your burst, without losing your explosiveness, because that's what it takes to be a star receiver. You have to be in condition to take 10 to 15 targets.
Yeah, and those targets are going to increase. We don't know how long, but Jalen Naylor is banged up. Let's just say that.
He has to get his extra cardio in, like I used to. You got to get your extra cardio in on the Stairmaster, on the elliptical, because you don't want to wait. You don't want to wear down in the fourth quarter when you're going against the Joey Porter Jr., when you're playing against that man-to-man coverage against Ohio State. This is where you make your money. In the second half of the season, this is where the money's made.
Yeah, and with that schedule too, you can find yourself making a lot of money.
Yes, sir.
You play that right. I want to ask your opinion on this because you said something about Naylor and Reed last week. I think front runners was the phrase, and I mean that's why you said he grew up. But what do you think of a guy like Trey Mosley, who started early on in his career and then kind of transitioned into that slot role and the way he blocks downfield and stuff?
And everything you do, you got to do to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
So he may not be getting the targets, but you can affect the game with your blocking. Make sure you're running the best routes because people are still watching that film.
Yeah.
So that film is going to carry you the rest of your career. You don't have to be a star to get an NFL camp. You don't have to be a star to help your team win a Big Ten East, a Big Ten title, win a national championship. Just play your role. Does that make sense?
Yep.
I tell young men all the time, everybody knew Michael Jackson. Most people didn't know Tito Jackson. But Tito won the Grammys, and he got paid, too, because he was part of the group. He knew the words to the songs, and he played his guitar. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So just play your role to the best of your ability and wait till your time comes. I was a redshirt freshman. I didn't play as a true freshman. But from my sophomore year to my junior year, I started. If I would have gave up them first 2 years and didn't lay a foundation on the scout team in spring ball, Cliff Ryan would be non-existent in terms of Spartan football. So each day you got to just keep perfecting your role. And so when your time comes, you can explode.
Yeah, and he's had the experience and stuff like that, and so I'm interested to see how that works.
You just got to keep working, and especially with Naylor going down, keep working so you can get some of those targets that Naylor was getting.
Let me ask you something, because you played that defensive end position, and you were a leader on the team, obviously, as a captain. Drew Beasley came back last week,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't look like Drew Beasley. He's still supposedly not 100% according to what he says, but it's that defensive end position. He's a very quiet guy in certain aspects and stuff like that. What's it like, though, to have a leader like that on the defensive line come back?
It's very important. My redshirt freshman year, we had two all Big Ten defensive ends, and Greg Taplin and Cliff Dukes. And guys like that, they lead by example. They get you going. And they really helped me set a foundation for my career. And then I was able to start the next year as a sophomore, and I led the D-line for the next 3 years. So I'm a firm believer everything starts with the O&D line. And if he's not 100%, he has to do whatever he can to become 100%, because as a D lineman, you want to put pressure with four. And for the fans, that means just rush your four D linemen, your two ends, your two tackles. The better you can rush with four, the more coverage you can play. The more you blitz, you expose yourself to the passing attack. You want to be able to get home with four. So he needs to get himself to 100% so he can pin his ears back and get offenses into third and predictable, and that's third and long, that's third and eight plus, so they can get off the quarterback, get after the quarterback with four, so you don't have to, you know, run these blitzes and different things, so you can have an effective defense.
Yeah. Well, speaking of exposing yourselves a little bit, Michigan State got a little bit exposed by the tight end against Nebraska, and that looked like it was Michigan's game plan early on. It's just like, you know, just forget about it. We're going to throw it to Eric all day. And until I think Brantley knocked all out of the game. Like, how do you make that adjustment to just cover that seam route that the tight ends have been hitting on Michigan State all year?
We have no coverage ability. I hate to say it, man, but when you watch the film and you watch the games and you're at the games, I said this last week and I'm going to say it again. Currently on the roster, we do not have the type of linebackers, safeties, nor corners to play the type of coverage that Mel likes to play. I'm quite sure he's calling the right things, but these guys don't have the talent to do it. And it's no disrespect to them.
Yeah.
It's no disrespect to them. You are what you are in this business. And we've shown through eight games that we can't cover. And I'm not being critical, but that's what I see, you know? And when you get against the good teams with better tight ends and better receivers, they're going to exploit that.
Yeah.
That's why I try to tell our Spartan faithful, we have to keep it all in perspective. You know, when you got home Saturday night, did you go watch Ohio State and Penn State? Did you see that type of team speed on defense and offense? I didn't see that from Michigan or Michigan State. But when I watched Ohio State and Penn State, I seen two physical, fast, well-oiled, disciplined machines.
I think that's still the cream of the crop. I think that those two teams are still the teams to beat in the East.
Don't say that too loud. Do not say that too loud.
Wait, you don't think I can handle it?
I mean, I can handle it. I don't care.
I'm talking about me. I said, you don't think I can handle it?
I don't know. I can handle it. And one more thing. For all you people who's excited about us being number three, if the season ended today, we would have to play Alabama. And we both know how that went the past two times we played them. So let's reel it in a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I mean, obviously, I want Michigan State to do well. I want them to go to the playoff. But if Alabama wants to fall out, I'd be totally fine with that.
I understand Alabama lost, but they're still Alabama.
Yeah. I remember, was it the Outback or Capital One? Outback?
I can't remember. Bowl? I remember watching that, and Nick Saban told the team not to score anymore. They scored again, and he chewed the running back out on national TV for scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, I remember, like, you could tell he was getting upset that Alabama was just running the score up on Michigan State in the first game that they played, not the playoff game, but in that first game that they played. And it was just, like, it was a 9-3 Alabama team, but since they already had one loss earlier on in the year, they just kind of said, you know what, forget about it, and kind of threw in the towel. But then when they came full game time, they were ready to play again, and it just didn't end well at all.
I'm still having nightmares from that stiff arm that Shalique Calhoun took.
Oof. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, look, Calhoun was. I don't care, you know, who won Big Ten Defense Player or Defensive Lineman of the Year or Defensive Player of the Year or whatever it was that year. Shalique Calhoun's numbers were better that year, and yeah, he was getting thrown around against Alabama. It was not a good look.
He went from a number one to a number four.
Yeah,
he went from a first round pick before that game and got drafted number four. In the fourth round.
Yep. Yeah, that one game just completely changed his career. He's still putting together an all right one, though. You know, he's still making plays occasionally when he gets those opportunities. But yeah, let's get to the predictions here. I don't know, you know, if you're a gambling man by any stretch of the imagination, but you know what the spreads are. You know what the lines are. Michigan's favored by 20 points. Who you got this weekend?
Michigan State Purdue?
No, we're starting with Michigan Indiana first. Michigan's favored by 20. Who you got?
I got Michigan 38-14. I think Harbaugh and company are going to get the troops in Ann Arbor to refocus. Like I told you last week, Michigan has a mental hurdle now when they play Michigan State because there's not too many guys on that team that believe they can beat Michigan State. I went through that during my time at Michigan State. We were up 17 and lost. We lost close games to them in overtime. That's mental. When you lose a 16-point lead, that's a mental thing. And we talked about that last week, that the guys in the MSU locker room know they can beat Michigan. I don't think many guys in Michigan's locker room believe they can beat MSU. But this week, I think Harbaugh rallies the troops, gets some refocus, and they win by 24, 38-14. Down in Bloomington.
Yeah, they're still in control of their own destiny. If you look at it, you still got Ohio State, you still got Penn State. You can shake some things up. You know, Michigan State will. I'll say it. I can take it. Michigan State will probably take an L against Ohio State, and so that means that Michigan can do whatever they want. They still have everything in front of them. I'm right there with you. I think they dominate Indiana. The last, obviously, Michigan State, they're favored by 2.5 or 3 points, you know, wherever you're looking. And they're favored by 2.5 or three over Purdue. Who you got in that one?
I think Michigan State will win. I think it'll be close. I'm going with 28. The 24. Michigan State needs to establish a run early. They need to get a solid ball control offense, play keep away from Purdue and that great receiver. They can't have a lot of three and outs on the road in West Lafayette. They can't let Purdue get it going because West Lafayette is a tough place to play. Historically, the Boilermakers have given us problems. So they need, to me, they really need to play ball control on offense with Mr. Walker, our hopefully Heisman Trophy winner, and on defense, control the line of scrimmage, put pressure with four, blitz when you have to, not get too overzealous with the pass interferences because that hurts a little bit, and just play bend, don't break defense, and I think we'll escape West Lafayette with a win.
Yeah. Is it – you were talking about Bell again. Is it time for Brantley to start?
I would start him after the play he made. That was a very instinctive play. I mean,
because like he's
that wasn't his zone. He pulled off and made a one hand catch. But
yeah, it looked like he was reading McNamara's eyes, and he just ran for it.
Yeah, that was an instinctive football play. That wasn't his zone. That's a catch. That's a catch if his football instincts don't take over because the guy was wide open. He read the quarterback, seen the ball, picked it with one hand. The safety in the other corner was supposed to be over there.
Yeah.
He watched it.
Yeah, like, when he comes in, he just seems to, like, re-energize the defense. I mean, it's weird to say for a true freshman, but the way he hits, and he's consistently around the ball typically. I mean, you're watching Williams and Kimbrough, and they're 5 to 10 yards off when the catch is made, and he's always right there. He's a little bit of a headhunter as a freshman, but I think it's time you got to start him.
I mean, I like him. A lot of times those guys are 5 to 10 yards off because we're playing a lot of off coverage.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have, from my observation, the DC and Mel doesn't have the confidence in the guys to play man and, you know, press man. And yeah. I think as the recruiting cycles continue, you're going to see a different type of DB and safety and linebackers that Mel go after. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and look, I mean, if he can't get them during the recruiting cycles, he can definitely get them in the transfer portal.
Yep.
Because he has mastered that thing. But, hey, buddy, I appreciate you coming on again. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, and go State.
Yep. Again, that was Clifton Ryan. This is the Trouble with Snap Podcast. I am Tyler Hayward.